Hello, everyone, and welcome again to the podcast. Joanne with you on this 11th day of March 2021. So happy to be here with you, and just had an amazing day programming the radio content for tonight. And first of all, I want to thank you all who have been listening to the podcast. I've said this before, I can't see who it is that comes and listens, but I can see the numbers of people who listen each day, whether or not it's downloaded. And, you know, some people just come and visit, you know, don't necessarily listen to anything. But what's exciting to me is to see the nations that are represented in the count. And so God bless you if you are from another nation, not the United States, Switzerland, Ireland, some of you over there, God bless you. I can see that you're coming faithfully and listening. And so even though I don't know your name or I can't see your face, I just want to thank you so much for just your faithful encouragement to me by returning and coming back. I've got a new Spotify listener. God bless you. I just want to thank you so much for listening too. And I pray that you all grow in crazy ways in the Lord, you know, just from glory to glory to glory, from strength to strength, as we open up the word. Today, I got to beat one of my favorite drums in scripture. The Lord put it on my heart this morning about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And this is one of my favorite things to talk about. Because when you realize that God has made you righteous, you understand how much he loves you. I've got some key scriptures that we're going to be looking at. And if you are able to write these down, I just want to tell you, this is incredible warfare to be able to speak these things about yourself. You actually put your pronoun in the sentence, or you put your name in it, and you declare these truths of the New Testament over your life. And man, the revelation of righteousness that Jesus has purchased for us. It's powerful to believe these things, not only about yourself, not only about Jesus, but as you'll see, about your Father in heaven, just how much he has loved us. Let's start with 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Jesus, the one who never sinned, the one who was totally righteous, was nailed to the cross, and it says that he became our sin on the cross so that we could become his righteousness. It's this great exchange that takes place when we place our faith in Jesus as the Son of God to die as a sacrifice of our sins. This gift of forgiveness, this gift of righteousness, it simply comes because we believe in him as God's Son. It says that we are justified through our faith. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, 18. It says, therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came into all the men, resulting in condemnation. That's talking about Adam. Even so, through one man's righteous act, Jesus, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. So Adam, his act brought guilt and condemnation. Jesus' act, it brought righteousness and justification. Have you noticed how many legal terms are in Scripture? Acquittal, justification, righteousness, propitiation, redemption. You know, all of these terms, it gives the image of our Father God being the judge. Jesus himself, the judge of all the earth. And he has a gavel, okay? And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, he bangs the gavel and we are declared not guilty. And this is incredible, incredible love of the Father. So no condemnation if we're justified. And as it says in Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation, no damnatory sentence is what that word actually means. It's like we have been declared righteous with God, not guilty. So you can say that over yourself. God has declared me not guilty through my faith in Jesus Christ, his son. Okay. You're not guilty. New creation. Here is another one. And that's also found in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man or any woman is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. You know, the Bible says that he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know, one of the great things that the Lord said today is it wasn't just your sins that passed away. You did. Okay, literally, you died when you came to faith in Jesus Christ. The old man passed away and died, and you were raised a new creation. So it wasn't just your sins that were removed. It was you, the old you. And now you are recreated in the image of Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus has done for us in the new birth. We read about it in John chapter 3. You know, if we are born of the Spirit, okay, we see the kingdom of God. This is why he said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, born anew, the new creation, he shall not see the kingdom. So Jesus did not shed his blood on the cross to leave you a sinner. He shed his blood to make you the new creation, the new man. And so that's where we're going to go next. In Ephesians chapter 4, I felt like this was powerful, powerful stuff today. If you go on down to verses, start with verse 20. It says, but you have not so learned Christ, talking about the old way of living. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I'm going to say that again, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. I mean, that's some serious meditation that needs to take place on those verses 22 through 24. It says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And it's almost like you get up each day and which clothes are you going to put on? Are you going to put on the old sinful clothes that's what you're going to believe about yourself, that you're still a sinner? Or are you going to put on the new man, which believes that we have been recreated after the righteous image of Jesus Christ? That's what it means to put on the new man. It's actually to think about yourself differently. I am the new creation. I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. He has completely cleansed me and made me holy and righteous. Okay? What it means to put on the new man, to think about yourself differently. Sometimes in these pauses, I don't know if I should sing. I don't know if I should just collect my thoughts, but I'm still here, even in the pauses. It also says that we have been given the Spirit as a guarantee. You know, when we came to Jesus Christ, we became the new creation. God gave us his Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, he has sealed us, given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. That guarantee is of our future possession of a new body. Okay, hallelujah. We get a new body. But right now, we are the same as having received the inheritance if we have the Spirit as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5:5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, and has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. Ephesians 1:14, the Spirit who is the guarantee of our inheritance until that time comes when that redemption takes place in our body. Okay. You know, God doesn't put his Spirit into sinners. He puts his Spirit into temples of God, which are the new creation. And I felt like the Lord just wanted to highlight that. You know, if we have the Spirit in us, it's because we have been made the new creation. All right? So, you're not a sinner. Reconciled to God. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians, and this is 5, verse 18. Where do those scriptures go? Here we go. I can only have so many windows open on my computer. There we go. So the verse 17 is talking about, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Then verse 18 says, now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. See, we've been reconciled to God because we've become the new creation. Okay? We're not sinners reconciled to God. We are saints reconciled to God. Okay? I believe it's 1 Peter 4:18, where it says, if the righteous are barely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? So, I mean, like, there's three categories of people there. There's the righteous, there's the ungodly or the wicked, and then there's the sinners, okay? So, pick which category you're in, okay? Can't be in more than one at one time, so we are the righteousness category, okay? The point that I feel like, you know, how do you know if you've fully believed in this righteousness that God has given to us? Well, I don't believe we're walking around feeling guilty and condemned all the time. You know, like we said earlier in Romans chapter 8, verse 1, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are the new creation. I'm sorry. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. When we have the revelation of his righteousness, we're no longer walking around guilty and condemned. Okay? There's a freedom that is found in his righteousness. Another thing about righteousness is that it frees us from fear. And, you know, part of the sin nature is the fear of punishment and the wrath of God. I believe it comes from the enemy, because the enemy has reason to be afraid of the punishment and wrath of God. And this is Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And, you know, just this beautiful truth that once you are reconciled to God, you've come into a privileged place with God. He's not mad at you anymore. You don't experience the wrath of God. You experience the grace. You experience the mercy. Now, God still knows how to discipline us. Okay. I mean, if we get out of order with him, he knows how to correct us, but it's not an angry wrath. Have you ever seen a parent just kind of look at their kid and raise their eyebrows? It's like, I can't believe you just did that. You know, I mean, the Lord is just so patient with us. His first line of correcting us is communication and love. You know, he teaches us. If we persist and if we're stubborn, it may seem a little bit more stern. We might get rebuked. We might get some privileges revoked. I mean, you know, he will chasten us according to what we need for growth. And I mean, if he needs to pull us back for a little bit until we can learn how to behave, he can do that, but he loves us. I mean, we're not experiencing that vengeful wrath. The Bible says in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. When you have a revelation of the righteousness and the justification, you have a revelation of the loving Father for you, that he's no longer mad at you, that you don't have to be afraid that you're going to say something that's going to get him upset with you, because that's not how he deals with his sons and daughters. I mean, our relationship with him has changed when we've become the new creation. We're sons and daughters. We're friends with God. Or we're the bride of Christ. So, I mean, the relationship there is totally different than those who are outside who oppose God. Okay, those who are still in sin. And even God is kind to sinners. And you know, people grow better in an atmosphere of love and grace. I mean, when they're not afraid of always messing up. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about God's love for us. Even if we mess up, He still loves us. I mean, he's patient. I mean, we don't even have to be afraid. I mean, we don't try to mess up, but we don't have to be afraid. Even if we mess up, he can take those things and turn it around for good. It says God works all things for good. So, I mean, that's a pretty comprehensive love right there, you know, to cover past mistakes and future mistakes. You're righteous, okay? Early this morning when I woke up, a song that was on my heart and mind was the latest by Andrew Rip. It's called Jericho. So I pulled it up to listen to it, looked at the lyrics, and this is what I found. It says, long before I ever called your name, you were fighting for my victory. Carved in your flesh and bone are the wounds that have said my soul's forgiven. And, you know, if you think about the carvings in Jesus's flesh, you know, the scourging, the nails, the crown of thorns, the beating with the rods, it says that his blood was, you know, plucked out. He was, you know, slapped in the face. He was punched. You know, these things were carved into his flesh. How beautiful is the body of Christ, right? Jesus did not pour out his blood and suffer these things so that we could still be called sinners. I mean, Paul spoke of our righteousness, our justification, and this salvation more than he ever said that we were still sinners, okay? He might have referred to that a couple times in Scripture, but he speaks far more of this standing that we have with God as the new creation, okay? And I believe it's just really important that we get this down deep on the inside of us, but also that we speak it over ourselves, because it will silence the guilt. It will silence the condemnation. It will drive out the fear if we will learn to speak these truths over ourselves and how much God loves us. Amen. So one more thing, a book I wrote a few years ago. It's on resurrection, just all the different aspects of Jesus's death. And one thing was that he was pierced in his side. And whenever the soldiers pierced him, it's in John chapter 19. It says, immediately blood and water came out of his lungs. Okay, that's called pulmonary edema. It is when your lungs fill up with fluid. So Jesus basically went through suffocation as part of his death on the cross as his lungs filled with water. It's not the first time a man's rib cage was opened. I don't know if you remember Adam. God took one of his ribs, okay? And then, of course, Jesus, his rib cage was opened up, and water came forth. And he's called the living water. If you remember back in the Old Testament, whenever Moses struck the rock and the water came forth, New Testament says that rock was Christ. The New Testament says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. You know, so this living water that Jesus gives, it's like on the cross, he stretched out his arms. And just like a husband would place his arms around his wife to give her strength and give her what she needs, that's what Jesus did for us. He placed his arms out on the cross, and then out of his side came this life-giving flow of living water from which we drink. And, you know, Jesus just didn't go through all this on the cross so that we could still be sinners, okay? He did all this so that we could become the new creation. You know, anytime we bow before the cross, we are raised up new in him. So I just want to encourage you today with your new identity and how much God loves you and exactly what he has accomplished for you through the cross,
through the death of Jesus Christ. Okay? You're righteous. And until next time.